Find a spot with me in the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 34. Ezekiel, chapter number 34. And we'll preach for a few minutes out of that passage of Scripture. And you pray for me. You pray for me because I guess I'll be preaching more to me tonight than I will be you. And you'll just have to forgive me for that. You'll have to just bear with me for a minute. And you'll understand what I mean in just a moment. But you follow along with me and pray for me, and that'll be good, okay? Ezekiel chapter number 34. If you're there and you want to stand, we'll read the first 10 verses and draw thought from those 10 verses. Ezekiel chapter number 34, verse number 1 says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be unto the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The disease have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick. Neither have you bound up that which was broken. Neither have you brought again that which was driven away. Neither have you sought that which was lost. But with force and with cruelty you have ruled them. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock become a prey, and my flock become meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock, neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them." Father, help us this afternoon, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. In the Old Testament, oftentimes, kings and officers were referred to as shepherds. A shepherd had the job of leading, caring for, and protecting the people that they ruled over. And as Ezekiel is pronouncing his judgment upon the land of Israel, we come to chapter number 34, he begins to pronounce a judgment against the shepherds of Israel. It seems that the leaders of Judah and Israel had abused their power instead of faithfully leading God's people as they had been called upon to do. In this passage, God condemns them for using the sheep for their own personal gain. He'll condemn them for abusing and neglecting the sheep instead of shepherding them. And God makes it very clear that they did not care about the sheep at all, but rather they just cared about themselves. Their neglect for the sheep had caused them to be scattered, and the fact that they were scattered caused them to be in danger and vulnerable to the attack of the enemy. The division and the disunity of the people of Israel made them a prey. And God said it was the result of the leaders who simply were not leading. The only hope for the nation of Israel, if you read chapter 34... the only hope for the nation of Israel was that one day God said, I will come and I will be a shepherd over this people. He says, I will gather them together. I will set a shepherd over them. And he said, it'll be my prince David will rule over them. And he said, I will judge those that abuse them. I will comfort those that have been abused. And I will pour out my blessings upon those that seek me in repentance. Well, as I was reading this passage of Scripture this week, it caught my attention. It did not catch my attention because it was a pronouncement of judgment on the leaders of Israel. That was for this people in this time, and And God certainly didn't judge them. It caught my attention because I found an application in this passage of Scripture that was for me. And while it's true that the shepherds in the text were the leaders of the nation of Israel, it is also true, and you'll agree with me here, that the Scriptures make it very clear that spiritual leaders are also referred to in the Scriptures as shepherds. David said of our Lord in Psalms 23, he said, "The Lord is my," what? "He is my shepherd, I shall not want." Peter uses the same application in 1 Peter chapter number 5, verse 1 through 4, and he said, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being an example unto the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." Jesus in John 10 called himself a shepherd. Peter called him the chief shepherd. And then Peter, in the same passage of Scripture, said that the spiritual leader, the elders of verse number 1, the pastors, if you'll let me say it that way, because that is literally what it means, the pastors are also shepherds over the people of God. Therefore, I think it makes sense why this passage in Ezekiel chapter number 34 had such application to me this week when I read it. Because the reality is that God has called me to do a certain job. And God is relying on me. God has asked me, and God will one day judge me for the job that I do. If I was to ask you the question before service tonight, I wonder how you would answer this question. If I was to ask you the question tonight before service, what's the job of your pastor? I wonder what you'd say. If I ask you before we started, what's the job of your pastor? It wouldn't surprise me if I got several different answers, but most of you would answer that question this way. It is your job, preacher, to preach to us. That's what you would say. It is your job to preach to us, and that is true. But there's more that God has called me to do. And I'm going to preach tonight on this thought, the role of the shepherd. The role of the shepherd. You say, now why is it so important that I know what your job is? Well, it is important that you know what my job is because, well, four things. And I'll give you these and then give you my thoughts tonight. It is important for you to know what my job is. Number one, because if you know what my job is, you know what to expect from me. How are you going to know if I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing if you don't know what I'm supposed to be doing? Number two, it is good for you to know what my job is so that you can then understand what your job is. If you know what the pastor's responsibility is, you don't have to waste your time trying to do what God's called the pastor to do. Number three, it's good for you to know what my job is so you'll know how to pray for me. Number four, it's good for you to know what my job is because when my job is clear and revealed, then your job can become clear and be revealed. God has called you to do certain things just like God has called me to do certain things. And when all of us are doing the things that God has called us to do, we are a healthier and a stronger church for it. I want to show you three things from the Scriptures tonight. What is the role of the shepherd? Number one, preaching to myself, y'all just say amen, take notes, and you'll know how to pray for me later, okay? Number one, it is the role of the shepherd. The shepherd, number one, is responsible for feeding the flock. He is responsible for feeding the flock. Look at verse number two. God's first judgment, his first pronouncement of judgment on the nation of Israel is in verse number two. And God said, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy, say unto them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds. Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves." Now watch this. "Should not the shepherds feed the flock?" Verse 3, "Ye eat the fat, ye clothe you of the wool, ye kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock." God begins His judgment by stating that the shepherds of Israel had not been feeding the flock that they were called upon to lead. Can I say that it is the first job of the man of God to feed the people of God? The reason that God lists this judgment first is because it was first in the way of responsibility, and it was first in the way of importance. Therefore, I could say tonight that it is of the utmost importance, the foremost importance, for the man of God, the pastor of the church, to be found feeding those that are his little flock. God said again about our great shepherd in Psalms 23 in verse number 2. He said, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." David tells us that that great shepherd, that good shepherd, that chief shepherd led his sheep to still waters, and he caused them to lie down in green pastures. Now, I don't know much about sheep, but I have read this, and so I assume it to be true, but I've read that sheep will not lay down when they are hungry. Therefore, the picture of the sheep in Psalms 23:2 is the picture of a flock of sheep that have been to the still waters and have drank there, and have been to the green pastures and have fed there, and being satisfied and full, he said, "He maketh me to lie down." You see, the good shepherd was feeding his flock. And in like manner, it is the responsibility of the pastor that he feeds the flock of God. You see, it is my responsibility. God help me, because God has entrusted me that it is my job to study the scriptures and to present them to you in a way that makes sense so that you can grow thereby. Can I tell you the greatest probably compliment that I receive as a pastor of this little church, and as I preach from time to time at other places? Probably one of the greatest compliments I get is when somebody says something like this. They say, "Preacher, you just make it so simple, and I learn so much." I would rather you say that than to say, "Preacher, you made me feel good. I shouted the whole time you preached." I would rather you say, "I learned something. You made it simple for me, preacher. I appreciate you putting it down there. I believe God wants me to put the cookies on the lower shelves so that all the children of God can get one." And so it is the responsibility of the pastor to feed the flock. If you're taking notes, write this down. Letter A, he is to provide for them a source to be fed. He is to provide them a source to be fed. The Bible says again in Psalms 23, I mentioned this a minute ago, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." When David talks of the great shepherd, he tells us that he leads his sheep to a place of green pasture. Now, I'm preaching to me tonight, but for just a second, I'm going to preach to you, okay? You're here. You drove all this way. You might as well get something. I'll give you a little something right here. It is my job to take you to the green pastures, but I cannot force you to eat there. It is my job to put the food on the table, but it's your job to come to the table. Boy, I could preach for about 20 minutes on coming to church. I could preach for about 20 minutes on coming to church. But I could say this, even when we do come to church, it is our responsibility to put that napkin around our neck, tuck it in real tight when the preacher gets up, get our fork ready and say, "I'm eating tonight." You see, I can take you to the green pastures, but I cannot force you to eat there. There are people that will sit in church, and they will sit Sunday after Sunday, and they'll say something like this, "Boy, I'm just not being fed at that church anymore." Well, I wonder why it is that those same ones that aren't being fed anymore are the same ones that are playing on their cell phones, and they are sleeping, and they're daydreaming while the pastor is giving his message. Could it be that the pastor's bringing them to the green pastures, but they are choosing not to feed there? The Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 3:2, he said, "I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you're not able to bear it, neither are you able now." You see, the Corinthian church was not growing, but it was not because Paul was not feeding them. It was because they were choosing not to be fed and not to grow thereby. I believe one of the greatest blessings for me as your pastor in these last 5 years, and just last week, I think it was, marked that 5-year anniversary. I think that one of the greatest blessings for me as your pastor is that I have watched as some of you have grown spiritually in the few years that I've been here. And that is such a good thing. That is such a blessing. So he provides a source to be fed. Let it be, he provides safety in where they're fed. He provides safety in where they're fed. It's the responsibility of the pastor or the shepherd to make sure that his sheep are eating the correct things. God led them to green pastures, and he led them to still waters. Sheep are a lot like goats, from what I understand, and the fact that they'll eat about anything. The sheep doesn't know what's good and what's bad, what's poisonous and what's not poisonous. And so it's the responsibility of the shepherd to make sure that they're eating the right things. Likewise, it is the responsibility of the spiritual shepherd, the spiritual pastor, to be on the lookout for what is being preached, what is being taught, what is being sung inside of the church where he leads God's people. And I make sure that I try my best to preach what's right. When I preach a message like I did this morning and we tread out on those deep waters, I do not do that with ease. I do not do that without a lot of prayer and thought and meditation, because it is my job to make sure you're eating on the right things. I don't just let anybody come preach at the church. I check them out. I ask questions. I find out things. Because I don't want somebody to stand up here and say something foolish, say something untrue and incorrect. What is the job of the pastor? Well, number one, he's responsible for feeding the sheep. That is my job. That's number one. Number two, what's the role of the shepherd? Number two, the shepherd is responsible for leading the sheep. He is responsible for leading the sheep. Look at verse 4. The diseased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty you have ruled them. And then look at 5. They are scattered, and they were scattered because there was no shepherd. They become meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains, and upon every high hill, yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. The second judgment that God brings upon these shepherds comes in the form and the fact that they were not leading the sheep. God describes them in verse 5 and verse number 6 as being scattered. They were wandering the mountains and the hills. They were scattered because there was no shepherd to lead them. Not only is the pastor responsible for feeding, but the pastor is responsible for leading. You see, it is my job not only to preach to you, but it is my job to be out in front of you and trying in some way, form, or fashion to lead the church. That's what God has called me to do. Write this down, letter A, he controls the direction of the sheep. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 5 says, and they were scattered because there is no shepherd. In contrast to that, again, let's listen to Psalms 23, where he said in verse 2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Amen. You see, sheep are not cattle. Cattle, you drive cattle. They drive cattle, but you don't drive sheep. You lead sheep. Therefore, you cannot be behind the sheep driving them, but instead the pastor has to be in front of the sheep leading them in the right direction. You see, the shepherd goes before the sheep to the place where he is leading them. He makes sure that there are no pits for them to fall in. There are no poisonous plants for them to eat. And there are no wild beasts that would devour them. Jesus said in Matthew 9:36, when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. You see, God's man is responsible for leading the direction that the sheep go in. He must be out in front leading. I'll be honest with you. One of the scariest things, and you pray for me on this, one of the scariest things for me as the pastor of this church comes in this area of leadership. You see, I know that the choices that I make and the sermons that I preach will in some way direct this church. And therefore, what I say and what I do doesn't just affect me, but it affects my family and it affects your family. Therefore, I do not take that lightly, because I know that what I do here affects all of us. And I also know that what I do here, I will stand and give an account for when I stand before God one day. You would be surprised at some of the things I toil over. Brother David, I preached that message a couple weeks ago on, is it okay for me to clap my hands in church? That was such a simple message, but it's such an elementary message. And I did it, and I preached it, and y'all said you liked it, and I appreciate that. I don't know if you did or not, but I appreciate you saying it anyways. In fact, if you don't like a message, just tell me you do. It'll make me feel better, and at least one of us will feel good when we leave. And I preached that message. You don't know the turmoil in my soul before that Sunday morning. Because I knew, Brother Scott, that if I stood here in this pulpit and I said, we ought to start clapping our hands, that some of y'all would start clapping your hands. And there will be, you mark her down, friend, there will be somebody that'll criticize that. There'll be somebody criticize that. But I knew that I was leading our church in the way that I felt like God wanted us to go. And as that shepherd, as that pastor, it was my job to control the direction of the sheep. I did not take that lightly. I thought about it and I prayed about it. I called another preacher in another state and I said, hey, preach, I need to just talk to you about some stuff. You ain't got the answers, but I need to talk it over with you. And I talked to him. Because it's my job to control that direction, that leadership. Letter B, not only does he control the direction of the sheep, but letter B, he cares for the sheep. Verse 4 says, the disease have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty you have ruled them. God said that these men were not healing the sick. We're not binding up the wounds of the hurt. They were not strengthening. They were not seeking after, searching for the stray, or going after the lost. You see, a good shepherd is a shepherd that will not only feed his sheep, but care for his sheep. At the end of the day, if I understand this right, and I think we get this imagery from John chapter number 10, at the end of the day, a shepherd would lead his sheep back into the sheepfold. And there, as the sheep began to enter the sheepfold, they say that that shepherd would have those sheep pass under the crook of his staff. And as that sheep would pass under the crook of his staff, he would inspect them. He would find out if there were any burrs in their wool that he needed to get out that would harm them. He would find out if there were any wounds that they had gotten that day, and he would pour oil in them. And as they would come in into that sheepfold at night, he would count them 1, 2, 3. And he would make sure that none of them got lost and none of them had got separated while they were gone. In fact, the Bible tells us that great story of the good shepherd that leaves, Matthew 18:12. That good shepherd that leaves the 99 and he goes out and searches till he finds the one lost sheep and he brings him back into the fold. Oh yeah, that's the responsibility of the shepherd. You see, he not only controls, but he's going to have to care. That's why sometimes I've got to call my deacon on a Sunday morning and say, hey, tell the church I'm not going to be there for Sunday school. I've got to get to the hospital real quick before I come. I had to do that this morning. And I would love to be able to do that more. And I'll be honest with you. If there's an area that I beat myself up over, it's probably this one more than any other. I've got a job and I've got a family and I've got a responsibility to prepare for messages. And in the midst of all of that, I've got to try to care for the flock as well. Amen. That's why, and if there's an area that you can help your preacher in this one. I preached a message about a year ago at this church, and I preached on a circle of ministry. And I told you how that ministry is not a pyramid. Ministry is not a pyramid with me at top. And I understand there has to be some leadership in the church. I just dealt with that. But ministry has to be a circle. And what it looks like is it is not me having to care for and minister to everybody else, but it is us caring for and ministering to one another. And you know how you can help me? If somebody's sick, call them, send them a note, send them a text. Go visit them in the hospital, because your pastor can't be in all places at all times. I'm only one person, and there are still just 24 hours in my day. And I think we do a good job of that. But he's to care for the sheep. Write this down, letter C. Sometimes he has to correct the sheep. Ezekiel 34:20, "Therefore thus saith the Lord God unto them, Behold, I, even I, will judge between the fat cattle and between the lean cattle." Now, this is a tough one. Notice that God's telling the nation in verse number 20 that he is going to judge them. The reason he was going to have to judge them is because the shepherds had not done their job in judging them. And that great psalm of the shepherd, David says in Psalms 23:4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." That staff is what the shepherd would pass over as he would care for them. But that rod, David mentions, was used for discipline when the sheep got out of the way and needed to be brought back into line. It was never done for fun, nor was it done for amusement, but it was done for the good of the sheep. Having to be corrected is not fun, but it is needful. And notice, while it is not fun, David said, "There is comfort in the fact that my shepherd has a rod." Can I say this? It's not fun when the pastor has to preach something that is difficult to hear, or deal with someone individually when they have to be dealt with. But I hope that it is a comfort knowing that at least somebody's willing to say something when something needs to be said. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:2, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." All right, number three, I'm going to let you go. The shepherd is responsible, number three, for loving the sheep, for loving the sheep. Verse number three, "Ye eat the fat, you clothe you with wool, you kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock." Notice finally that God condemns the shepherd in Israel because they failed to love the people. The lack of love is seen on the part of the shepherds in the fact that they use them for their own personal gain. They abuse them instead of caring for them. They put the sheep in harmful situations because they only cared about themselves. Jesus said in John chapter number 10, that passage about the good shepherd, he said the difference between the good shepherd and a hireling is when the hireling sees danger coming, he runs and he flees because he doesn't care for the sheep. He's a hireling and not a shepherd. Just as important it is for me to minister, it is just as important for me to minister for the right reasons. You see, the work of God is the only work where motives mean everything. A farmer, I'm not a farmer, but a farmer can go out and plant his garden, and he can do it for all sorts of reasons. He can plant it for exercise. He can plant that garden for amusement. He can plant that garden because he wants to make a few dollars. It doesn't matter to the seed and the crop why he's planting the garden. That doesn't matter. But in ministry, motive matters as much or more than anything else. Peter said in 1 Peter 5, I read these verses a minute ago, verse 2, 3, and 4. He said, "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." Peter tells us that the man of God is to minister, not because he's forced to, but because he wants to. Why does the shepherd minister? Why does he do what he does? Well, two reasons. Letter A, he does what he does because he loves his people. He does what he does because he loves his people. John 10:13, "The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep." A shepherd's different than the hireling in John chapter number 10 because he cares or he loves his sheep. The shepherd wanted to be and do what was best for his sheep. He wants them to grow. He wants them to mature. He wants them to produce new sheep. And ultimately, the goal of the shepherd is to make sure that his flock, no matter how large or how small, was fed, was protected, and made it home safely at the end of the day. And the job of the man of God is to make sure that his flock, no matter how large or how small, is fed, is protected, and that everybody gets home at the end of the day. Amen. And I may not be the best in the world, but I sure do love my sheep. He loves the people. Last of all, letter B, he wants to please God. Verse 4, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory, which fadeth not away. Peter says in verse 4, the ultimate reason for pastoring the flock of God is that one day soon, the chief shepherd will appear. And when he does, he's going to collect up all his little sheep. That's you and me. He's going to collect up all his little sheep. And the under shepherd will stand before God. And if he's been faithful, Peter said, there's a crown of glory that waits for him. Fades not away. A woman one time asked a pastor of a large church, she said, Pastor, how do you keep all these people happy? The pastor responded, I give no thought to pleasing them at all. I simply strive to please God and let him worry about everybody else. You see, if the man of God is faithful to the work of God that God gives him, there's a crown waiting on him one day. And that crown, if I get one, I'm just going to give it back. But if he could say, well done, whoop, that'll last me through all eternity. Well done. What's the responsibility of the shepherd? Well, he should feed the flock. He should lead the flock. And he should love the flock. Well, I don't know. Brother Scott, let's get a verse of a song. Maybe somebody needs to come pray. I don't know. I hate to close the service without doing this. So we'll give a verse of invitation.